operation to attack Israel to take a spoil in these latter days. So people, get ready. Jesus is coming. Soon will be coming home. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You heard it correctly. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Get a copy of this wonderful book, As America's Done to Israel. Your gift of $18 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Get it on our website, saveus.org. And I want to urge you to become a partner. Day after day, we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they'll be the views of Pastor David Whitney as we talk about the American Constitution. And the Constitution is important because, of course, it's what separates the United States from every other nation in the world. And certainly the people who want to establish a dictatorship hate the Constitution. That's why it's not taught in our schools today, at least not taught to a real understanding of what the Constitution was all about, because it was a restriction placed on the power of the central government so men could be free. It was echoing the concepts of John Locke, who, writing in the 1600s, said that government governs best, that governs the least. And he talked about nature's God and nature's law and the rights of life, liberty, and property. But we've pretty well forgotten about a lot of those things since then. They, of course, established a republic in America, but we never teach that. Every state is a republic. The federal government is a republic. But, of course, they keep telling you we're a democracy, and Congress can do whatever it wants to. I mean, after all of these are democratically elected people, and the democracy, they pass all sorts of laws that violate the precepts of the Constitution, and that's all right because it was done by democratic vote. And it is not all right because it's an act of treason and subversion to act, swear to uphold the Constitution and then work to undermine it. And it's these same people who take us from war to war to support of dictatorships throughout the world. We have a wonderful country, ladies and gentlemen, but it's been taken over by evil and wicked forces. We have an invisible government that controls both political parties, works through a series of covert organizations, which I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, and is systematically destroying our nation, is about to destroy the value of our currency, is about to plunge us into a war with Iran, is about, of course, to kill millions of people, because, of course, they cherish, they enjoy doing this sort of thing because they are inherently evil, and because their slogan is, we're going to bring about world peace. How are you going to bring about world peace? Well, World War I is an example. It was the war to end all wars. We fought war to end war, and that's why we're going to war with Iran to end wars. Well, with that as the background, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution is going to talk to us about the Constitution, and you need to learn it, and you need to begin teaching the Constitution, and we need 300 million people who understand the very foundations upon which our freedom rests. Good evening, David.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's great to be with you, and indeed, we see encouraging signs, because as the administration in Washington, D.C. is becoming so extreme and so corrupt and it's evil, many Americans are waking up and realizing, well, we've got a desperate problem on our hands. What can we do? The first thing that every American needs to do is to learn the Constitution, and then from there take action in terms of how they vote, and take action in terms of not just the vote they cast at the ballot box, which is the one we usually think of, but there's actually two votes that every citizen has that are more powerful than the vote at the ballot box. That's the vote on a grand jury and the vote on a petit jury. And when we met together last month, we were talking about the Fourth Amendment and its protection against unreasonable searches and seizures. So when the government's trying to investigate you for a supposed crime, they are limited in what they can do in terms of that investigation, must be by warrant.
All right, you hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest is, of course, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution, who will be talking about that in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. David, go right ahead.
Well, that as we mentioned, that if your Fourth Amendment protections, the things that they can do to investigate whether you've committed a crime are limited. And searches and seizures are reasonable when they're accompanied by a warrant. That is, there's probable cause, and the warrant spells out the probable cause that a crime has been committed, such that an objective third party looking at the evidence would say, okay, yeah, I'll sign off on this and grant a search warrant. Now, what happens if not only did they investigate and they found what they believe to be evidence that you've committed a crime, what's the next stage in that process? That's where the Fifth Amendment comes in, and the Fifth Amendment is designed to protect your God-given right if you are charged by the government with having committed a crime. The text of the Fifth Amendment reads, "No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime, that is a felony, unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia or in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation." So there's five elements here that we're going to look at one each of these elements. The first is referring to the grand jury, and in America, the grand jury is not well understood. The grand jury really is designed by our founders as a buffer between the citizens and the government, so that if you were going to face the expense and the trauma, as well as the jeopardy of a trial, if the trial is one of a felony or a capital crime, that is, that could result in a death penalty sentence for you, if you're going to go through all of that, you're not going to suffer under that unless a grand jury of your fellow citizens looks at the evidence that the government has gathered together, evidence that they claim supports the need to go to trial to determine your guilt or innocence. A grand jury is going to look at that evidence and determine if the government's case is sufficient, if the evidence that they present would lead to probable cause, and therefore that a trial should go forward. And so in a sense, the grand jury really acts as a check on our government, and a check especially on an out-of-control prosecutor who may be either taking evidence that's really tainted or evidence that's obtained illegally, or, you know, a whole bunch of reasons why a grand jury looking at the evidence presented to them might decide this should not go to trial.
Hold that thought. Of course, our guest is Pastor David Whitney. He's just talking about the grand jury process, and the whole idea of a grand jury is to prevent the government from subjecting people to a trial, you know, if there isn't sufficient evidence. And so the prosecutor takes the evidence to the grand jury, and the grand jury then agrees that there was sufficient evidence, then, of course, the prosecutor proceeds with the trial. But, of course, the members of the grand jury can say, we don't think there's sufficient evidence, and that, of course, would deprive the prosecutor of the right to proceed. But, of course, everything is designed to protect the citizen from the excesses of government, from the excesses of prosecutors who are judged not upon, rather, justice, but how many convictions they can get. And, unfortunately, our legal system has become more of an idea of the number of scalps you can have on your belt, rather than whether you are purveying justice as it should be purveyed. Go right ahead.
Yes, so the grand jury really is to function as a brake on the government, especially a brake on an overzealous prosecutor who might want to, like you say, put more notches on his belt. Now, we need to remember that the grand jury never decides guilt or innocence. They're not saying the person's guilty if they hand down an indictment. They're just saying there's enough evidence here for probable cause that this really ought to go forward to a trial. I think the propaganda machine is pretty effective in the press and media that wants you to believe that the grand jury has handed down an indictment of Joe Schmo, and obviously, therefore, Joe Schmo must be guilty. But people don't understand. No. The grand jury hands down an indictment. The only thing they're saying is they're giving a green light to the government to go ahead with a trial. That trial with a Pettit jury is going to determine whether there's guilt or innocence for that individual being tried. So the grand jury is just deciding if there is enough evidence for an indictment. And indeed, they can decide that there's not enough evidence and say, no, this is not going to go forward to a trial, so they can give the government a red light. The oath the grand jury take usually requires they return an indictment if probable cause exists. That's the general oath that they're taking. But they should never merely be a rubber stamp of the government's wishes. They should investigate the other side. There's always two sides of the story. No doubt the prosecutor's only going to present to them one side of the story. As good grand jurors, they ought to do their own independent investigation of the other side of the story to discover if there is things that are not being revealed by the prosecutor that are significant in making their decision. They should act as the conscience of the community. One of the other things that most grand juries aren't told is they can investigate any issue. They're not limited to what's just presented to them. Usually the prosecutor is going to present them a series of cases and ask them to make a decision on a whole series of cases presented that he's going to give them evidence on, but they don't have to limit themselves to those cases. They can investigate anything they choose. And, of course, they're free to charge what the government has charged, or they're free to change the charge. So, the government's claiming a felony has been committed here, and they could say, no, we're going to present this as a misdemeanor instead of a felony. So they can reduce the level of the crime. They're, of course, free not to charge at all. And so when they come to their conclusion or they make a recommendation, this is called a presentiment. Now, it's fascinating to see how the grand jury these days is dumbed down to, the joke is that you can get a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich. And that just shows that most Americans don't understand the true power of a jury, particularly a grand jury, as an independent body, in essence what I would say is the fourth branch of government, completely independent of the other branches. And people have said to me, David, you're a little crazy. I mean, why should we listen to you as any authority on this design of the grand jury? Well, it is in our founding document. It's in what our founders described, and even someone like Justice Scalia. And this is a case that United States v. Williams back in 1992. He described a grand jury, and listen to his language here, he described the grand jury in essence as a fourth branch completely independent of the other branches of government. He said, rooted in long centuries of Anglo-American history, the grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. You know, Article 1 describes the legislature, Article 2, the executive, Article 3, the judiciary. Scalia continues, it is a constitutional fixture in its own right. In fact, the whole theory of its function is that it belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of buffer or referee between the government and the people. Grand jury's functional independence from the judicial branch is evidenced both in the scope of its power to investigate criminal wrongdoing and in the manner in which that power is exercised. Unlike a court, whose jurisdiction is predicated upon a specific case or controversy, the grand jury can investigate merely on suspicion that the law is being violated, or even because it wants to, the assurance that it is not. It need not identify the offender it suspects, or even the precise nature of the offense it is investigating. The grand jury requires no authorization from its constituting court to initiate an investigation. Even in this setting, however, we have insisted that the grand jury remain free to pursue its investigations unhindered by external influence or supervision, so long as it does not trench, that it does not violate upon the legitimate rights of any witnesses called before it. Recognizing this tradition of independence, we have said that the Fifth Amendment constitutional guarantee presupposes an investigative body acting independently of either prosecuting attorney or judge. And I use Scalia's words because he's saying exactly what our founder said. The jury is a fourth branch, it's independent of the other branches, and they are not to do what the prosecuting attorney wants them to do or a judge wants them to do. They're completely independent of that. And they must be independent to do their job effectively. And so our Fifth Amendment there, first of all, secures our right. If we're accused of capital or infamous crime, we're preserved from being dragged through that process if a grand jury hears the evidence and determines, no, the government doesn't have a good case here. The government should not take this to trial. That's a red light, or the grand jury can signal the green light and say, yes, we hand down an indictment. This should proceed to trial. Notice the other interesting thing here in the language of the Fifth Amendment. It envisions the potential that you could lose your life as a result of the trial. In other words, it envisions and expects capital punishment and recognizes that capital punishment can be the sentence in a capital crime. And this is important to remember because these days, with the misinterpretation of the Eighth Amendment, no cruel and unusual punishment, that's being interpreted today as saying, well, no, you can't put anybody to death. The capital punishment cannot be done because that's cruel and unusual. Well, not according to our founders, because right here in the Fifth Amendment, they envision capital punishment, so how could they be saying in the Eighth Amendment, no capital punishment? No, that'd be self-contradictory and obviously not what our founders expressed. That's the first guarantee. The second guarantee of the Fifth Amendment is no double jeopardy. This is being tried twice for the same offense, same jurisdiction. And this is to prevent the government from harassing citizens by dragging them one trial after another trial. And the king was famous for this in England. You know, if he couldn't get a jury to convict you, well, he'd shop juries. And eventually enough trials, you're either financially exhausted and ruined, or eventually he finds a jury that says you're guilty. And our founders realize this is an abuse of justice. There's no justice coming out of that sort of system. So they said no double jeopardy.
Well, I would simply point out that today they've found a way of getting around that. Now, they will. They say in the jurisdiction, they talk about, so basically you can have the states try someone for a crime. Then you can have the federal government charge somebody for a criminal offense. Then, of course, if you don't get them that way, why you bring them back to the state and you charge them with a civil offense. And that's how they got O.J. Simpson. They first of all tried him for a criminal offense, and when they couldn't get a conviction, they brought it back, and they tried him for a civil offense, and by that time he didn't have any money left. And of course, those of you who don't know, one of these days we'll do a program on O.J. Simpson, because O.J. Simpson, well, all the black people in this country think he was set up. They sent and tried to convict an innocent man. Most white people think that he was guilty of sin. And I hate to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, but you've been sold a bill of goods. You've never heard the true story of O.J. Simpson. But be that as it may, then, of course, when they didn't get enough out of him for the civil charges, now they set him up for another charge. They infiltrated. They got his best friend. His best friend said, oh, we've got to go and get those memorabilia. Somebody's got them. They're yours. They had no right to have them. And then this guy has a gun. And he takes the gun down there, and he waves the gun around, and O.J. doesn't know anything about this. And O.J. goes to prison, and the guy with the gun, what happens to him? He gets off scot-free. Ladies and gentlemen, they set up O.J. and again. But one day we'll do a program on the true story of the murder of Nicole Simpson. But go right ahead there.
Mm. And the thing that's sad is most Americans serving on juries don't understand that they have the power and the duty to judge the law and to judge the actions of the government against an individual. If the government's breaking the law, in other words, say the government's violated the Fourth Amendment and they have illegally searched and illegally seized, the jury can see that and say, well, it doesn't matter the facts. The government is abusing its power, and we're not going to let the government do that. We're going to set this individual free. We're going to say not guilty because we have seen the government abuse its power and the government violate the law. We're not going to let the government get away with doing that. And so they serve as a very, very powerful check, a kind of abuse of this protection against double jeopardy. Juries ought to slam down anytime they see double jeopardy being done. They ought to slam it down, punishing the government for violating this law, the Fifth Amendment of our Constitution.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with suddenly Pastor David Whitney. But you must understand that the Constitution is our protection from those wicked people who would enslave us. And there really are evil and wicked people out there. Unfortunately, some of them have gotten into our judicial system, and increasing, we're doing away with justice. And now, of course, we have vendettas. We'll be right back. Go right ahead.
Well, when the Fifth Amendment protected us against those essential elements, the next one is the protection against no compulsory self-incrimination.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
They want to prove that you're guilty. And so basically, if you start answering questions for them, many times they will trick you. They will, remember, they can lie to you, but it's a federal offense if you lie to them, but if they lie to you, that's perfectly all right. And they will simply, as David is saying, sometimes if you are innocent, it's better just to be quiet. They say, well, if you're quiet, it means you're guilty. Or why would an innocent man answer our questions? And the difficulty is that many times their interest in conviction and not justice. They actually, of course, have done away with a number of congressmen. They sent Congressman George Hansen to prison. Why? Because he was a good, honest congressman. They sent Jim Trafficant to prison because he was a good congressman and he was trying to do the right thing. And certainly, there are some times he's got crooked congressmen, but they will use the law against good and honest people, and there are instances after instance I can tell you about where they have knowingly set innocent men to jail. One example would be certainly the Green Beret, Captain Jeffrey McDonald, and he's been in prison for 26 years, and they knew, of course, this crime, the murder of his wife and children, was carried out by a satanic sect, but they don't want the American people to know it was carried out by a satanic sect. And this innocent man sits in prison today, despite the fact that all of the evidence is there that he was falsely convicted. And yet, of course, the original prosecutor, knowing full well it was a satanic sect, to this very day, is keeping Jeffrey McDonald in prison. And the FBI sends innocent people to prison to cover up for criminals, as they did with Whitey Bulger back in Boston. Learn what goes on, ladies and gentlemen. And, I mean, sometimes you can trust the courts, but sometimes you can't. And so we have protections, and they prevent us being forced to testify against ourselves. Go right ahead.
And so it's very important, and again, this isn't my research. A police officer I've seen testify to this effect, a law professor as well, that the less you say, the best is to say nothing. They could do whatever they want, but you are not obligated to tell them anything. And you're better off saying, I want to make my phone call. I want to get representation. I will not talk until I have that representation that can protect me. Because like you say, Dr. Stan, they're free to lie. And if they're going to lie to you and promise you this and say that and do, you know, psychological manipulation of you, you can wind up spilling all kinds of information that you don't have to, nor should you be telling them. You cannot be forced to self-incriminate. And think of the most famous trial in the history of the world, the trial of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He understood this principle. There wasn't a Fifth Amendment, of course, back then and in our Lord's day, but he understood this principle that no human being can be forced to confess against themselves, even under torture, which is kind of what they did with him by beating and flaying him and then putting a crown of thorns and beating him over the head. They're trying to get him to make statements that they could then use to say, look, he's guilty. Let's go ahead and execute him right now. And he stood before the Sanhedrin silent, got them hopping mad that he would not talk to them, not answer their questions. And likewise with Pilate. Pilate was so amazed that Jesus wouldn't say anything. He said, well, don't you know I have the power to take your life or power to set you free? And Jesus knew he did not have to say a word because he understood it's a God-given right that no one is forced to self-incrimination. So that's our third protection in the Fifth Amendment. The grand jury indictment, the first. Double jeopardy, the second. Third is no compulsory self-incrimination can be forced upon us. The fourth right is that no one can be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Due process of law, of course, means a trial. And a jury trial is what our founders envisioned for not only all criminal cases, but all civil cases as well. They knew that the jury trial is your best opportunity to see justice done. And we know that it's impossible, because we're fallen human beings, to ever have perfect justice in any society. But the closest we can get to that perfection is a jury trial. There's only two types of trial. Trial by government, where all government-appointed officials, the government-paid officials, they are going to try you. Or a trial by country, that is, by a jury of your peers who don't stand to gain or lose anything from the outcome of the trial. They're the only independent people in that courtroom, and your just outcome is far better in their hands than in the hands of any of the so-called professionals.
Well, our guest, of course, is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. You must learn the Constitution. You must realize that this is the only thing that provides you with freedom. And what is the beauty of the Constitution? It limits the power of government, and they never teach that in schools. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Stan, and our guest, of course, is Pastor David Whitney. David, go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. And as we consider that valuable statement that you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, those are the first three things in the Declaration of Independence. If you remember our God-given rights, there is a Creator God, the Declaration states. Secondly, all of our rights come from God, not from government. And the sole purpose of government is to protect and secure our God-given right to life, liberty, and property. Well, property in the Declaration is ensconced in the term pursuit of happiness, which includes all of our economic freedoms, all of our economic liberties given to us by God. That is the right to work at a job that we choose, the right to keep the fruits of our labor, the right to own real property, and have possession, full possession of that real property and not have it taken from us. And so our founders are saying here that if you're going to have your life taken from you, if you're going to be executed, it can only be by this due process of a jury of your peers. If you're going to have your liberty taken from you, you're going to be put in prison. You're not to be done, that's not to be done with some judge or even a panel of judges sitting and making that determination. It must be a jury of your peers. And likewise, if your property is going to be taken, it must be likewise by due process of a jury of your peers. And so they envisioned that all trials, both criminal as well as civil trials, would be jury trials. Well, today that standard has been jettisoned in most cases for civil trials. It's still preserved in criminal trials, and the excuse is, oh, there's such a backlog in the courts and so forth, and jury trials are too expensive and so on and so forth. But I believe there's less probability of justice being done if we don't have jury trials, even in those civil cases. And we need to return to that standard for security for our life, liberty, property, and all of our other God-given rights as well. And this due process ensures a procedure for essential and fundamental fairness to be followed, rather than the arbitrary decisions of someone who is a professional, who is biased, and who, again, is not a person in the courtroom who doesn't stand to benefit from whatever happens. Every judge and every prosecutor.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, And this is Dr. Stan, and of course we're just talking about the judicial process. But before we go on, David, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution and certainly take a course themselves on the Internet, how they get a kit and begin teaching this in their local communities. And of course, to put out your webpage, be sure to get out your telephone number.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, we're very excited because as Americans are waking up, many of them are come to realize the problem in America today is that our Constitution is being trampled in the mud and being disregarded and treated as if it's a piece of toilet paper rather than the supreme law of the land. And so there's a great interest, and we're just struggling to even keep up with the interest all over the country of people saying, I need to get a means by which I can study the Constitution and understand it as our founders understood it, not as some judge today who's twisted around the words to mean whatever he wants them to mean. No, I want to understand what the founders meant by these words. After all, it's true of any contract you have with any individual. It was what was the intent of those who formed the original contract. That's how you find out the meaning. And so we're helping people learn that all over the country. We could invite people to go to our website, iotconline.com, which is stands for Institute on the Constitution, iotconline.com. There you could take three different online courses where you watch the videos online, download the student materials and the test questions and the homework reading, and watch the classroom video as well as the interaction with questions that people ask and thoughts that they have. So that's available for both the U.S. Constitution, and tonight we just finished our jury class and encourage people to learn what it means to be a fully informed and prepared juror as an independent juror in our system. And we also offer one state constitution course. That's the Maryland State Constitution. We hope as the years go by to develop all 50 state constitutions so that people can study their state constitution as well as the U.S. Constitution. All of that's available at our website, iotconline.com. But we also encourage people...
Why don't we get the telephone yes. number, first of all, the webpage twice, iotconline.com.
And they can call us to order a host kit, which once people take a class, maybe they take it online or maybe they take it in person, we encourage them to get a host kit and conduct their own class with a group of people in their community, perhaps in their church or maybe in a community center or even in their own home. They could order that online, or they could call us toll-free at Institute on the Constitution and place their order for a host kit to teach the U.S. Constitution. And that toll-free number for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. Again, that toll-free number for Institute on the Constitution, 1-866-730-9796.
And, you know, I think it's so vitally important that people understand that we are ruled by our Constitution. It does not change with the whim of the individual, the Supreme Court Justice. This is why we should not have this Miss Kagan, who is a flaming lesbian on the court, because she has predetermined ideas that when she was the dean there at Harvard, why she, you know, certainly wouldn't not allow the military on the campus because they have this no, don't ask, don't tell policy. She is dedicated to the homosexual lifestyle, the homosexual agenda, and they want to put her on the Supreme Court. How can she possibly, you know, come up with impartial decisions? And this is the problem we have. We have people on the Supreme Court who have their idea of how law should be, and a lot of them think that we should have a world government, and so they want to take international law as the basis for our law. Our law is based according to the original interpretation of the Constitution. And, you know, I heard Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes interviewing Justice Scalia, and he made some remark, and she looked at him incredulously, and she said, "Why, you are an originalist." And he sort of looked a little startled. He didn't probably even know what an originalist was, you know. But that's what they do. Well, you are an originalist, meaning you believe in the original interpretation of the Constitution as it was written by our founding fathers and is the basis of a law. Leslie Stahl and the people at 60 Minutes and the liberal establishment she represents don't want a fixed constitution. They want to be able to change it and centralize all power in government and then transfer the power to the one world government. Now, whether Leslie is part of that or not, I don't know, but 60 Minutes is. It's owned by Viacom. That's part of the CFR, Trilateral Bilderberger Complex. And they use the power of television to influence the minds of the American people so that anybody who is an originalist, according to the Constitution, is somehow an aberration of the past. Well, believe me, the past history of our Constitution has given us a document that stood us in good stead for 200 years. It's too bad that they're doing everything they can to destroy it today. They're too bad, of course, they're not teaching this in our schools. Too bad that they're robbing future generations of a heritage of freedom. But go right ahead, Pastor Whitney.
Well, that's absolutely right. And the way we need to undo this damage that's being done is that people understand the Constitution clearly enough. When they hear somebody called an originalist, they cheer. Oh, yes, of course we want an originalist. Just think of going to get your car repaired. They won't let you out of that facility without your signature on a document. What's the document? Well, it's your contract with the car repair company, you know. You're saying, well, you could change the oil and tune it up, change the spark plugs, and that's all you can do. And they will not do anything more than what you've agreed to allow them to do in the document, because they know you come back at the end of the day and they change your transmission and hand you a bill for $3,000, you're going to say, wait a minute, I never agreed to have you do anything to the transmission. I'm going to take you to court. You're not getting that $3,000 out of me. And the car repair facility, they know that. They have a contract with you. It's a fixed standard. It doesn't change. The only way it can be changed or amended is if you agree, you, the customer, agree, and they, the proprietor of the business, agree to change the contract, and you agree on the price, and all those things are agreed to amend that contract. Well, why would you ever place your life, liberty, and property, which are far more valuable than your automobile, why would you place them in the hands of somebody who says, well, this contract is whatever we say it means, even if we have trouble, as that Arkansas lawyer has trouble defining what the word is means, you know, we're going to entrust our life, liberty, and property to these people? Whoa, we'd be insane to do so. So people need to think of our Constitution like a contract, and that'll bring them around to realize, whoa, I wouldn't do this with my mortgage company. Have a living, breathing contract. This month it's 10% interest. Next month they say, wow, we think it's 20%. Well, the next month we feel like it's 50% this month. You'd say, no way, I'd never do business with a company like that. Why then would you do government any differently? Why would you ever trust a government with your precious God-given rights if that government believed that it could change the contract on a whim? It could redefine the words anytime it chose. You'd never do it.
And, of course, the thing is, if the elite who run America, you know, want to change the Constitution, fine, you can change it. You do it by the amendment process. It's difficult to do, but it's done with the consent of the governed. They know that the people don't want to give up their freedom. They know that they don't want to give up the sovereignty of our nation. They know that most people don't want to become world citizens. They know that most people don't want to go into wars and do not want to finance an empire and have the CIA going around the world, you know, setting up governments and taking down governments and assassinating people. They know the people don't want to do that, but they do not want to amend the Constitution because, of course, they know the people would never go for it. So they simply get people onto the Supreme Court who will actually violate their oath to uphold the Constitution, people who have an entirely different worldview, and little bit by little bit, they've gradually changed the structure of our government. Ladies and gentlemen, this is treason, this is sedition, and these people are in the highest positions of our government, but nobody ever has the courage to say, this is treason.
And yet it is. And that's what, if the American people really understood the Constitution, really held to the philosophy of government of our founding fathers, this would not go on at all. I mean, there would be no toleration of somebody like Kagan even being considered for the Supreme Court. How dare you allow somebody to step into that position? And secondly, we'd never permit the Supreme Court itself to be the final arbiter of all questions of what is constitutional. We would never permit that. if we understood the structure our founding fathers created. Problem is, most Americans don't. But we're seeing, like I said, Dr. Stan, we're seeing an outpouring of people who are moving in the direction of saying, I want to understand what the Constitution says. I need to understand what it says. And we must take our country back. And we can do it if we will take action. And that first action, of course, is educating ourselves. And then beyond that, of course, educating all of those around us we can possibly reach. I was talking with a gal today who was getting a host kit and getting very excited about conducting a class in her community. Anybody can do this, and by God, every true-blooded patriot should be doing this.
And what's really so exciting, ladies and gentlemen, is for, we've been at this for 10 years with David and Michael Perutka, and for the first time all across America, there's a tremendous interest. People realize something's seriously wrong. They don't know what it is, but they've got to start someplace, and the first place you start is knowing what you believe in. We believe in the Constitution. We believe it's the greatest document ever conceived of by men, imperfect because men are imperfect, but it limits the power of government. It restricts what government can do. And, of course, liberty and limited government are synonymous. Tyranny and total government are synonymous. And there really are people who want the federal government to control everything, and, of course, the state governments to simply be rubber stamps for the tyrannical policies. And, of course, remember, it's those people in Washington, D.C. who are about to plunge us into a needless and unnecessary war over in the Middle East where thousands or hundreds of thousands or indeed millions of people may die totally unnecessarily, just like the unnecessary war in Vietnam. For a simulated attack, there was no Gulf of Tonkin, and all those brave and courageous American boys who went off thinking they were fighting for freedom, they were simply sacrificed on the altar of expediency to, as a distraction, as they used the power of the central government and the Supreme Court to change America in the 1960s and early 70s and took God and prayer out of our schools and centralized power in Washington, D.C. and found a woman had the right to kill the unborn child in her womb and all sorts of other new powers of the central government. Vietnam, ladies and gentlemen, was a distraction. That's all it was. And all those boys died for absolutely nothing. And we now today are financing, and we've even given the North Vietnamese most favorable nation status. Doesn't that make you feel all warm to know that the people who killed and tortured our boys have been given most favored nation status by, of course, our courageous leaders in Washington, D.C.? People like Henry Kissinger, who was there during the Vietnam War, who betrayed our citizens and abandoned hundreds and if not thousands of American servicemen, and Henry Kissinger today, on a daily basis, at least according to James Jones, the Director of National Security, Henry Kissinger gives orders to General James Jones, who gives orders every day to Barack Obama, the President of the United States. Go ahead.
Well, the fifth protection we have in our Fifth Amendment is that, and it's an element, basically a sub-element, you could say, of the fourth, that you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property. It focuses on the last one, property. There cannot be a taking of private property for public use without just compensation. This is the power, a very dangerous power, of eminent domain. The power for the government to condemn someone's property and then pay them whatever they determine it's worth and use that property for some public use. Well, I believe there are very, very, very few public uses that ought to be subject to eminent domain. Building a road, sometimes it's necessary to do so through an area that has houses in it. But generally speaking, all the other things that are often used for eminent domain, condemning people's property to put up a firehouse or to put up a school, those are not necessary and they should not be done. We should never see eminent domain used except for a very, very few limited cases. I had a friend, a neighbor of mine, whose house was condemned for a highway, and you could say that's a just public use, and yet he knew, and still to this day, is wrangled by the idea that it was not just compensation. His neighbor, who was politically connected for the same size of piece of property that was condemned to build this road, that neighbor received more money than he did, and he knew about it, and he knew this is unjust, and some, I think it's 50 or 60 years later, his his bones still rankle with the injustice of having been robbed by his government in the taking of his property through eminent domain. And so it's a very, very dangerous power that here is granted. And so we must define that public use as a very, very limited and a just compensation. Just compensation is what the property was worth before the government even began to talk about the idea of condemning the property. Because obviously, as soon as there's any even discussion in the air about the government condemning the property, the value of that property falls like a rock right down through the basement. So when they come to assess the value of that property, it's no longer worth what it was before the government began to even think about the idea of condemning it. And so a just compensation today, as most people discover whose property has been condemned, just compensation is a joke. They don't really mean to pay you what that property was worth. They're going to give you whatever they can get away with giving you in exchange for that property. Well, it's interesting to be watching what's taking place in the country as a backlash to the most extreme and egregious Supreme Court decision, Kelo v. New London. It's a case where New London as a city decided, well, we're going to bolster our economy and create more jobs, and we'll cut this deal with Pfizer. The big drug company will come in. And the drug company came and said, well, looking at this, we want those houses over there on the waterfront. We want them all raised to the ground and either put up some high-rise condos or some really nice housing there on that waterfront, because we don't want to look out the front window of our big headquarters here in New London and see that shabby-looking housing out there. And you know what the city of New London did? They did exactly what Pfizer told them to do. They condemned the property of these citizens who didn't have a huge pile of money but happened to live on the water. And they condemned their property and took it from them for pennies on what it was actually worth. Well, one of them, Kelo, said, no go, no way. She was a holdout, and she went all the way to the Supreme Court with her case, and the Supreme Court made the wrong decision. The decision that basically said any government at any level can take your property for any reason whatsoever and pay you whatever they choose to pay you. Essentially, the Supreme Court decision said, in America today, you cannot hold property.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney, and we're going to wrap up the program. But certainly, if you care about America, you need to know about the Constitution. You need to learn it. You need to know what the meaning is of each one of the articles. You know what the amendments are. And then you can discuss intelligently how they are eroding our freedom and, of course, where we're headed as a formerly free nation. Well, David, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, so the interesting end of the tale there in the city of New London, in spite of the fact that Kelo was a terrible, terrible decision. And
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
The arrogance of the bureaucracy, and fortunately, it's like deja vu all over again. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry is primarily listener-supported. If you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or help us as we try to maintain our 60 outlets every single week, where at least somewhere in America people are hearing the truth they're not going to get elsewhere, and come to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. Well, let me tell you, Sydney, we're having our all-day conference. It's going to be on the 17th of October this year. We've got Sheriff Mack will be here. Dr. David Ayoub has done a wonderful job with his talk on magnesium. But, of course, almost every vaccine contains aluminum. And nobody has ever talked about aluminum toxicity, what is just equally dangerous to mercury toxicity. And yet, of course, we're giving people excessive amounts of aluminum. And then we wonder why so many elderly people are getting dementia and Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease. And nobody's telling you the truth. Well, I'll tell you, this is an amazing talk. And we've got a great lineup of speakers on the 17th of October. So you can call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And certainly you can go ahead you can make your reservations. We have a block of rooms available. But, of course, last year we turned people away. We wouldn't want to have to turn you away this year. Going to be a great, great conference. October 17th, all-day conference. We'll be serving lunch. Then we want to tell you about our new DVD. It's called The Spectre Haunting America. And Sydney, it goes into the background of how they're destroying the lives of our children, and they know what they're doing. The Spectre Haunting America is the talk we gave at the conference last year. And then, of course, we have the book Genetic Roulette by Jeffrey Smith, going into the genetically modified foods that are destroying the lives and fertility of men and women all across America. You must understand what they're doing with genetically modified food. We have a 4-tape set, and, of course, we have the book Genetic Roulette. We recommend them to you. We actually carry the book by Jesse Ventura. It's called American Conspiracy. Well, we have so many books. Go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. You can get the books we have, all sorts of suppressed books you won't get elsewhere. We have 4-tape sets and 4-CD sets and DVDs and videos, and get the information. Two new books we're carrying. One is called A Terrible Mistake, the story of Frank Olson, who supposedly took some LSD and threw himself out the window, but he didn't throw himself out the window. He knew the secret. And, of course, he told some others he was going to quit his job with the government, And that was a terrible mistake because they reported him to the CIA, and Frank Olson had to be eliminated because they could never allow the public to know the truth of what had happened. And so this is a wonderful book. No major publishing house would publish this. It was published by Trine Day, a terrible mistake. Another one is the Franklin scandal. We can't